Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. Then as one man's sin led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the acquittal and life for all. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. For where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. There is no question that 10 years ago today, right about now, sin abounded. The question becomes, how do we move forward with any level of confidence that grace abounds all the more? Among the countless ways in which 9/11/01 has been remembered and recounted through the media this week, among the more poignant for me was a piece done by PBS, the Frontline series, entitled Faith and Doubt at Ground Zero. It was a series of pictures, interviews, remembrances, 2 hours in length, and a link to the show is on the church website. Hard to watch, very profound. In it, people expressing what happened to them and their faith, such as it was or such as it was destroyed, in the aftermath of those sequence of events. Ranging across the spectrum, some found odd comfort in the notion that I can't explain it, I'm horrified by it, but it was the will of God, and God must have some plan to deal with it. All the way to, I'm furious with any kind of God that would permit this to happen. I can't imagine that any God would cause it to happen, or in fact, there is no God. And clergy and laity of all faiths, especially Christian, Muslim, and Jew, expressed feelings, remembrances, insight, faith, and doubt at Ground Zero. Early on, one of the more poignant images was called to mind by one who got out of one of the towers, got out early, and was part of what she called a kind of procession, almost a death march, out of Lower Manhattan across one of the bridges, talking about, first of all, how silent it was, and secondly, how for her this was the ultimate in separation or estrangement, this walk across the bridge. Well, separation or estrangement is a classic definition of sin, and clearly, if that is the case, sin abounded through separation. And yet our faith claims, scriptures proclaim, that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. The opposite of separation or estrangement is connection. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about connections through which we can understand and maybe even experience again the abounding of grace, grace all the more. I think that as individuals, we are, in fact, connected in a variety of ways. We're connected emotionally through empathy. 9/11/01 was not the first or the last time that individually we have been overcome by horror, by uncertainty, by grief. It just so happens that on 9/11/01, all of us were overcome by those same emotions at the same time and for the same reason. But life as it is gives us the opportunity to experience great love, but it also brings us to grief. As I was going through chaplaincy training, we were taught that if we were to enter into the grief experience of those in hospitals and other places where we were to minister, we would have to enter into our own grief and use that experience and what we learned from it and how we handled it to build a case of empathy. And our experience of grief goes back to when we lost our goldfish at age 7. All of those experiences add up to bring us understanding, to bring us opportunity to share that understanding through empathy. No one knows how it is except someone who's been there. And the interesting insight is we've all been there. We were all there collectively at the same moment 10 years ago this morning. But we have been in the same place to a different degree and for different reasons. And that occurs throughout the course of our lives. There is a full range of human choice and experience as we share this life together. And for reasons that I cannot fully understand, the same human mind and the same human hands that are taught to do life-saving surgery are also taught to build truck bombs. And the fact that God created us with this level of insight and skill and puts us in the same place together pushes us toward a process of understanding that leads to empathy. One of the more poignant comments in the Frontline piece was from a firefighter whose son was a firefighter. And it was the son who was lost on that day. And the father, now retired from the New York Fire Department, said, "I believe God was fighting evil with us that day." Fighting evil with us rather than preventing it, rather than making it disappear. Because God leaves us with the gift of choice and feeling, which leads to understanding and empathy. We are connected emotionally through empathy, and grace abounds all the more. We are also connected, quite literally, physically. We have little physical rituals that we do. We shake hands when we see someone again, or maybe for the first time. We leave one another with an embrace. It's no accident that these are powerful rituals. Among the things that most vividly sticks in my memory, of all things in my life, was the day the cutest girl in seventh grade let me hold her hand. It was electric. It was powerful. We were deeply connected. The holding of hands. There's a kind of warmth in human touch that's like no other. Maybe because we're all the same temperature. I don't know. But I think it's also a part of who we are, that when we part company with someone who loves us, or when we see them again at the end of a day or a period of time, we both leave and reacquaint with an affectionate touch. It's almost like we're saying, if this be the last time we see one another, let it be with this touching one hand to another. I mean, they're built for creation, but also built for gentle holding. Another insight from the Frontline piece. Those people that were walking across the bridge in silence, described by one as the ultimate in estrangement, were oddly, I think, quite the opposite. Most were holding hands. Some were walking arm in arm. I think that arm in arm and hand in hand, walking across that bridge, they were fighting back. And they were winning. They were winning because they were connected one unto another physically. And in those kinds of connections, grace abounds all the more. We're also connected, and we just connected in this way a few minutes ago. We are connected spiritually through prayer. It is among the simplest things we can do to let a prayer pass through our minds, for our own sake or for the sake of someone we know. It's also among the most complex because it is a kind of emotional and yet more profoundly emotionally spiritual connection to someone perhaps that we've loved and lost. To hold someone's hand and to do so in prayer sort of doubles the connection. And this can be done at all stages in our lives. We teach children to recite table grace. We teach children to recite the Lord's Prayer. On our own deathbed, we can pray, even pray, for others. It's among the most profound connections that we have. It is the chaplain or pastor's role to sometimes formalize this in prayer in hospital rooms or other places, because who else does it? Well, all of us are called and capable of so doing. Another parent of one who was lost 10 years ago today said that sometimes I communicate with him by praying to God. That this parent connects with the child he lost through the spiritual connection of prayer. Throughout the course of the Frontline piece, people talked about how and when and why and maybe why they've stopped praying. And yet even a prayer that directs a great deal of anger at a God who, for some reason, either didn't intervene or abandoned people who were lost. Even that anger expresses a connection out of which maybe hope will reemerge. We are profoundly connected one to another as we call to mind those for whom we pray, as we pray in the company of those with whom we pray. And when we are connected spiritually through prayer, grace abounds all the more. At the end of the day, a rabbi in the frontline piece said, "It is not our job to resolve the dilemma of faith and doubt." And others have said, and I think even I've said from time to time, that faith and doubt are not polar opposites. In fact, it is our doubting that pushes us in a quest for more insight. It actually pushes us in a direction that ultimately may even strengthen our faith. Doubt is what pushes us forward in faith. Rather, this rabbi said, it is our job, quite simply, to live with the mystery. The dilemma, the tension, the paradox, the irresolvable paradox between faith and doubt is a mystery. And we are called to do nothing more than live with it. Oddly enough, this rabbi's insight echoes what we have from St. Paul in the book of Ephesians, that we are above all called to be stewards of the mysteries. That is, this mystery that is life and life together is in fact an amazing gift over which we are called to be steward. I think we are stewards of the mysteries as we connect one with another, as we connect one with another emotionally through empathy, as we connect one with another physically through the warmth of human touch, and as we connect with one another spiritually through prayer. And in our connection as stewards of the mysteries, I truly believe that grace, piece by piece, abounds. Grace abounds all the more. Amen.